This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 25th WGN show. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it is on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it is inconsequential and of no political significance whatsoever. Yeah, you can get that everywhere else. Boy, can't you. And so, and it doesn't matter if it's in America. Venezuela has presidential candidates. I think they just concluded. I don't know if they voted or not yet or whether that matters, but it's not just us. All right. So we will forget about all that, and we will get, like I say, to whatever is on your mind. But before I do, I read an interesting thing from Business Insider, and I've seen this before in individuals. And of course, unemployment is relatively low right now, to say the least. And part of the reason, of course, is because people have fallen off the rolls. You know, the unemployment only counts the people who are looking for the gig. But another part of the reason is that people are stuck between a rock and a hard place. And the story I was reading was about a guy from Virginia. And actually, he graduated from the Florida Institute of Technology in 2019. And he thought that would lead to a number of things because it was a bachelor's degree in multi-platform journalism at the Florida Institute of Technology. And he was doing a part-time thing while he was working, but after he graduated, he was laid off. And so he's been looking for work since. And then he figured, well, maybe it's not enough education, and he went ahead since nothing happened the first time and got himself a master's in journalism at Georgetown. And that didn't help either. But now what's happened is not only have his degrees not paid off in terms of any offers whatsoever, but they're hurting him tremendously applying for anything, especially menial jobs. And, you know, I see both sides of this so clearly, because if you are an employer and you're looking to find somebody who's going to be, you know, a line cook or something, or something that is, I won't call that menial, because if you do it, you know, thank God for you. But at the same time, jobs that otherwise wouldn't require a lot of education and probably don't pay very well, those are the kind of jobs that employers look at it, and what they really want is somebody who wants to stay in the job. And of course, you look at somebody with a master's in journalism and another degree from Florida Institute of Technology, and you say to yourself, minute he gets a job, he's out of here. And so this is a guy who says, I cannot get a job to save my life. And, you know, I thought about this, and I'm not sure what you do. Is there a way, I won't say to lie, but is there a way to kind of skip the education part as far as that goes? I don't know. But the idea of an individual, and by the way, of course, he graduated from these schools with student loans, and so now it's time to pay him back, and he can't get a job to do it. And so he even tried things like independent things, like trying to write a book that would get published on Amazon and all that. And meanwhile, he's looking forward to probably moving back home and living with his mother. And the deal is that he's checking every online job board there is, applying in person when he can rather than online, expanding his search to almost any job he could possibly do, and absolutely nothing is happening. And when I read that, I thought about how hard it's been for Eduardo to find a job in Tampa. He finally got one at Publix, but I thought, you know, being totally bilingual and having a good background and all that, and he'd have no no problem, especially the kind of jobs he was hoping to find, and nada. So I don't know what you do if you're between here and there. I think you skirt the issue. Maybe don't spend a lot of time talking about your education, to say the least. Find a reason for someone to want to hire you. And as I say that, I feel a little bad for it because, of course, you know, you don't want to scam somebody, and you are going to leave the minute you get a good job. I mean, that's not ethical either. But on the other hand, you want to eat. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh sounds almost like it's important. So let's get back to things that aren't and talk to Dennis in Colorado. How are you doing, Dennis?
Good evening, Raleigh.
How are you?
Being the first caller, I always feel obligated to talk about what you just brought up.
Oh, no.
And that's a real problem.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of packet loss, by the way. I don't know if it's on your end or mine, but
really?
I hope it doesn't drop us.
You sound fine to me, so
okay,
not sure.
Good. That is a real problem. First of all, you and I both know that a college degree is these days not all what it's cracked up to be.
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of people out there that can't get work even in their chosen field. And they have these big, gigantic college loans. But I was a victim of being overqualified once. There was a time when I lived in Florida years ago that, you know, college degree, professional pilot, all that stuff. And a position, I didn't have a flying job at the time, and a position was opening at a restaurant for manager. And I knew the place. I even knew the owner. But he just frankly told me, you know, you're way too qualified for this. Now, he may have, you know, there's always a chance that somebody like that's going to make a mistake and pass up somebody who could end up managing and running the place.
Right. Right.
But they'll never know.
You're right. But they've run through so many people that they err on the side of that, which is, as you say, very often might be a costly mistake.
Yes, and I had worked in restaurants before when I was much younger. So I knew the gig, but he wasn't interested.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got a great flying job right after that, and all went well.
Yes, indeed, because anyway, if you took that job, the minute you got that great flying job, you'd have been out of there.
Well, probably so. But I like to be loyal, and when I have had many offers that I refused to take because and even for more money. But if I was happy in the gig and I had a good employer, that to me is much more precious than a few extra dollars.
I agree with that.
Yep. You mentioned Duke Fakir. I know he passed away, and I wondered if you'd mentioned it on the show, and I heard it on the replay a little while ago. I had the pleasure of visiting with him at some length after a gig that he did at the Iridium in New York City one day, one evening. And I tell you what, that guy... there was a cacophony of talent at this particular show. On the keyboard, the piano was Yaron Gershovsky, music director from Manhattan Transfer. Mm-hmm. The founder of Steely Dan was the lead performer. I forget his name. And Duke was there blowing his horn. And the guy, like so many people in the industry, like, I don't know, you can go back to, oh, gosh. Who was some big band performers that would show up at gigs until almost the day they died.
Right.
And it never gets out of their blood.
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, with Duke, and granted, he was sick. He had bladder cancer and all that. So part of that was why he had retired. But it's just still poignant that 2 days later he dies. So if that doesn't say that you know, performing was his life, you know, 2 days later. Yeah.
Tex Beneke.
Right.
Never passed up an opportunity to show up at Disney during their big band shows. He would travel even in much later years, in the late 90s. He was active. It just was in his blood. And he wasn't doing it for money. He wasn't a wealthy man.
Right.
You know, the fact that he voiced the very first gold record in American history didn't make him wealthy.
No, of course not.
Just the love of the music.
Wow. All right.
I wanted to talk about something that's been on my mind for a long time, since I long ago saw the video and the program on the 100th anniversary of WGN. And when I watched it and I saw all the camaraderie, the long-standing people that remained at that station, your station, for many, many years, 20 years plus.
Absolutely.
All in the office, they're working together, they're cooperating, they're combining their talents, imagination, all to create a great product that the people like to listen to. And in contrast, I'm going to talk about a Class A station that you're very, very familiar with here in Colorado. A former chief engineer of that station, quite a while after he retired, only last year, decided to go. He'd go say hi to the gang. So he goes down to the studio, and the front desk lets him in because they know him, and he goes in there. There's nobody there. It's empty. There's two servers in the corner with their blinking lights, and not a soul in the studio. Now, you cannot, how can you deliver a good product when your people aren't there, they're not talking, they're not enjoying each other, they're not having fun, they're just doing something on computers, who knows what?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because traditionally we always said you had to win in the hallways before you could win on the air. And the great, compelling radio stations, it really was a family. Absolutely, that was true. But now, not only in some cases is nobody in the studio, but nobody's in the building. Case in point was several years ago, Clear Channel, when there was still Clear Channel, I think, or iHeart, at what point, who knows. But they built a nice facility, new facility, really nice, in Salt Lake City. And it burned to the ground because what happened was a saleswoman left a candle on her desk and she was the last person out and no one was there all weekend.
Yeah, I can see that happen. You know, you talk about your tornado story when you're being hurled around in a tornado potentially and the local radio station saying nothing about it. I've talked about my home station in California, Grass Valley, where there's a forest fire burning on the edge of town. And I hear this mundane infomercial, and I call, I'm listening to it over the online because it wasn't there at the time. And I said, I can't believe this is what's on the air. So I called the station, and I got some answering service in Tierra del Fuego or something who knew nothing about what was going on. But this started a long time ago. Gosh, 15 years ago, I was going down I-470 down the west side of Denver, and traffic was at a stop. And I called KGO to tell them, and I got this guy, and I said, you know, we're having a mess out here. Nobody's getting anywhere. Okay. I said, when are you going to put this on the air? And trying to sound like some 60s jocks, he said, you know, we'll get it on soon. Yeah, well, I was in that mess for another hour, and they never mentioned anything.
And, of course, they were using a traffic service, so they weren't originating any traffic information anyway.
Yeah, well, along about that same time, you know, we kept our airplane in the same hangar there kept their traffic copter. And I pulled onto the ramp one day for a flight, and there was the traffic copter, engines running, blades whirling. And I'm listening to them on the air give the traffic report as they drive into the ramp. And there they are sitting on the ground, and they're giving the report from the ground, pretending they're in the air.
Right.
Now, the safety record of traffic copters is such that if I was doing that, that's exactly where I'd want to be.
Right, yeah, me too.
But you know, they're pretending to offer this service. And just the other day, it was yesterday, I'm listening to a traffic report on one radio station, and the gal that's giving the report misidentifies the station that she's talking about.
Right, because she's doing six of them,
So she gives the wrong call sign and the wrong frequency, and you know, she didn't catch it. I caught it. You know, I don't know how many people caught it, but I'm listening to one station and they're IDing another.
Hilarious.
It's
so unfortunate because even a station that's fully automated, it's really not that hard to drop in a file. And, you know, one of our big things, other than Highway 60 always being closed, you know, for bridge rebuilding projects, which for, you know, for us is a big deal because people commute to the valley and back, and that road is closed. It's going to be an extra few hours to get home. But in any event, the real big thing is, of course, wildfires. And we have, you know, world-class wildfires as far as that goes. And I'll tell you what, anything happens, boy, I have that on as soon as it's been announced. And it doesn't take much to do it. But, you know, to do it right, of course, that's a whole other thing. But that's why, like the other night when we were delayed an hour because of weather, and David Jennings did such a good job with that. And that's the kind of thing that that's important because, you know, as I always say, you're not licensed to play Steely Dan records or whatever. You know, you're licensed to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Well, do it. And GN prides themselves. But yes, 99% of all stations have abdicated that. And that's what makes the argument of keeping radio in the dash so difficult.
Yep, yep. That, well, you know, it's public necessity, interest, and convenience. That has gone out the window so much because of all the consolidation and the
of course the
buying sprees that you've talked about and the economies of firing three quarters of the staff and having five people run five stations or six stations.
Well, how about just five people run an entire state of them? And there is a lot of that. Now, as far as emergency notification, there's another side of that, too, because, as I say, for years I damned Clear Channel for what happened in Minot. And at and for people who don't know, there was a train derailment and there were deaths and it was never on the radio. Well, it turns out it wasn't their fault. And because, and I've run into this a lot in a lot of counties, especially rural counties, the county didn't send them anything, didn't do EAS alerts. And what I've discovered is very few counties have anybody employed who understands the EAS system. They know how to do the cell phone alerts, and they're all about Everbridge or the, you know, various companies like that. And they just ignore it. And at some point, I know they're supposed to follow certain rules and all that, but at some point it should become an issue because, you know, we do the annual tests, the NPD, the national tests. Well, the reality is, like, the last couple of years, they've been done on CAP IPAWS, meaning they're done over the internet. That should be done from the local originating entity in the county. So, you know, that's not any given radio station, but that's a real failure in this country.
Well, you've talked a lot about getting EAS together, and it takes some talent and some work to get your station properly configured for EAS. And I don't think everybody
does
that.
Well, a lot of stations will, but you can be configured perfectly. But if the county doesn't send out the alert and then says, well, we didn't want to send it because that's the whole county, and it really only affected part of the county, so we just did an internet alert. No, I know.
That's not going to affect the guy out on the road in his car.
All right. Oh, we're off the air. Okay, to run that break. All right, you and I are just talking now. I guess Bob went into the break. So that's fine, by the way, that we are doing that because it's on the stream and it'll be on the replay. So, yeah.
Well, you know, talking about WGN, you've had such long-lived talent there. You know, John Lundecker and Spike had such an audience and an attraction and a legacy. I'm really glad that John, way back, I thought he was a special person. He wasn't the typical jock, and he had a soul about him that a lot of them didn't. So I'm glad he stayed with it and does well. Yeah. And speaking of Colorado, did you know Ken Hamlin?
Yes, I did.
He used to do a number of remotes, and I thought he was a fascinating fellow, and I went to a couple of his remote sites and sat there in the show with him. He even put me in the air once. And he was quite a force, but he's still with us, but he's faded into obscurity. He stopped doing internet. He stopped doing everything.
Well, he's 83 years old, for God's sakes. So he's entitled to it, and I am glad he is still with us. But yeah, the Black Avenger, and so absolutely. And I think he's in Douglas County, outside of Denver.
Yep.
So yeah,
he's always been here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
That's all I had.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good evening.
All right. You too. All right. So we'll stop talking until the news is over, and then we'll be back to it. Actually, on a radio station, this one, WGN Radio.
Better wait on. Better mind your manners.
Better change your tone.
Don't you threaten me, son. You got a lot of gall. We're gonna do things my way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and old Bob at Master Control is probably saying, she hits a minute 51 and I'm dead. No, we're not going to get there. And yeah, it becomes a little more colorful after a while, but it's a fine record. It actually was released. Not only, of course, was it in the fine movie Little Shop of Horrors, but it was released on Geffen. And yes, indeed, 1986 on Geffen. And of course, produced by Bob Gaudio, which says it all, doesn't it? And Howard Ashman and Alan Merkin wrote it. Just a fine song, but I made a mistake earlier. A big mistake. As I've mentioned, I'm frightened of plants. I always have been. Entire life. Yeah, root systems send me into a tailspin. I would not make a good gardener. In any event, I go online, and of course, the song is everywhere, but there's one with a clip from the movie. I will not sleep for a week. I'll tell you what. Yeah, Audrey 2. That was the plant's name. Yeah, oh man. So I tell you, if you share my fear of plants, you don't want to see this. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Leah is in Marcus Hook. So Leah, welcome back to WGN.
Hi Raleigh, how you doing?
All right. So are you able to access the stream and everything on your phone?
Yes, okay. I got it.
Good.
Little Shop of Horrors, the musical version, is a great movie. You got to watch it.
I watched the clip with the plant, not me. That was bad enough. I won't sleep for a week. I know it.
But the rest of it is so good. When Audrey, not the Audrey plant, but the Audrey person sings at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what a voice. What a voice.
No, I'm sure it's interesting, and, you know, it'll be on that list of things to do at some point. Interesting all the way around. So I can tell that Levi Stubbs had fun with it. And, you know, last night I was joking. I can just imagine that on an award show, you know, up for something like Mean Green Mother from Outer Space. Yeah, well, it turns out it was on an award show, not as someone who was going to get the award, but Levi Stubbs performed it on the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it's a
complete with plants.
Great musical. It's a great musical.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
I've seen it so many times. I just love it.
Okay.
But I had some stuff I wanted to bring up, a couple things. First of all, you were talking about the ancestry and all that last night.
Oh,
and
yes,
that show.
Whether you have Neanderthal ancestry or poodle or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and someone, I forget his name, he brought up the show Finding Your Roots with Robert Dates, I think is his name, the guy that hosts it. And I wanted to tell you about this one episode. They had Edward Norton on, the actor Edward Norton.
Oh, sure, of course. Yes, the Honeymooners.
And his was the most unbelievable of all that I watched, because I'm like addicted to this show. His was the most unbelievable. They found out that his 12th great grandmother was Pocahontas.
Well, now, how do they know that?
From the records that were kept at the time.
All right, records.
Because she was in England.
All right,
she was
so
in England.
Not his DNA. All right, I can understand that from relatives, but I can't imagine it.
No, they kept really good records in England back then. You know, but birth and death and everything.
Yes.
of births and deaths.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Actually, Ed Norton on The Honeymooners was Art Carney, but the Ed Norton you're talking about...
I'm talking about Edward Norton, the actor, the young guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a young guy, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, at least I think he's young, but anyway, apparently they discovered not only Pocahontas, but others as well, and his cousin is Julia Roberts, but, why not?
That was the most unbelievable one to me. His 12th great grandmother was Pocahontas. I thought that was amazing.
Well,
yeah.
It makes you wonder how they all got together.
I don't know. But he looks nothing like he has no signs of Native American in him. You know, he's got light brown hair and blue eyes. You know, you would never know it to look at him.
Pocahontas was in Virginia, so I guess he could have had relatives who came over stateside early on and got cozy with Pocahontas.
Yeah, I know. Well, she married John Smith, right?
Okay. I don't know. My Pocahontas history is very low.
Yeah, well, she married that guy, John Smith, and he took her to England, and that's where she gave birth.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why they had the records.
The only thing I know about Pocahontas was she was also known as Metawaka Rolf. And the reason I know that is because actually John had a friend all his life who named his daughter Metawaka. And I thought, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly.
Poor girl.
Yes, yes. And I think she can blame a lot of things on that should she choose. And she's got a lot
she
to choose
with
from.
Meadow. She could go with Meadow, though.
No, she actually went with Metawaka. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
What can I tell you? So why not? But that's interesting that they have all the records. And
They go back. They don't just do like genealogy. They do like, I mean, they don't just do like DNA. They do like the whole genealogy thing. The whole. You know, family records, they go through.
Well, right.
They
right.
do DNA, they do the census, they do everything.
Yeah, well, I would think you almost have to, because like I say, I don't think your DNA would tell you you were Pocahontas' relative. But
No.
You know, at least.
But I just thought that was interesting, because we were talking about it, and that's, you know, that was the most interesting one, I thought.
Well, good for him.
And I wanted to tell you about something new they're going to be doing in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you've heard of this anywhere else, but I heard it on the news the other night, the local news, and my head separated from my shoulders. I thought, crazy. They're going to be doing something on the turnpike, on the Pennsylvania turnpike, called rolling tolls.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I do. And it's...
With the trucks rolling around and...
Yeah, yeah it's...
Giving you tolls or something?
It's open road tolling. And you have to put your easy pass tag in your vehicle and have all the information there so that they can get rid of the toll booths. And so...
Yeah, they're going to roll around on trucks and collect tolls from you? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think it'll work quite like that. But, open road tolling will be cashless, free-flowing, and all that. So what you're doing is driving under a collecting, you know, point, a gantry, and you have your Easy Pass mounted, and you'll pay that way. You don't do anything else. But no, the toll collector, so to say, isn't rolling. You're rolling. And so what happens is your Easy Pass, they send you in the mail what, you know, if you owe them something, or they deduct it right from your Easy Pass account, things of that nature. So, absolutely.
Well, if you don't have an Easy Pass.
Well, then usually if you don't have an Easy Pass, they'll get it from your registration and bill you. But in many cases, I don't know what they're going to do on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, but in many cases, you want to ride that road, you better have the pass or you're in deep trouble. And there are roads in California like that. I think Orange County has one now. So this is not anything new.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the way they made it sounded like trucks were going to be rolling around on the turnpike collecting taxes.
Tolls. No, you're rolling, not the toll points of access. You are rolling in the car.
Well, then what's the difference between the toll booth and this?
there won't have to have toll booths. They won't have them manned. They won't have people employed doing it.
They don't have a man now.
Well, they do to some degree.
No, they don't. When we went to the wedding in Delaware, there were no people in the toll booth.
None whatsoever.
You just went by and they said, we will bill you.
Well, then that's basically the same thing. They're just going to do more
and
of
then
it.
We got a thing in the mail.
Yeah, then they're just going to do more of it. I know that you're probably right because they stopped allowing you to pay cash. So I guess all the toll booths are electronically monitored. And so, you know, they're Easy Pass or some states have TBP, which is toll by plate. So all electronic tolling, it's nothing new. And open road.
See, we don't get out much.
Yeah, open road tolling is, and you can go online, I'm sure, because when states, you know, put this in, they always have like little videos that you can watch and all that kind of stuff. So, instead of toll booths,
yeah, we don't get out of the state. We just keep to our own backyard. You know,
think about it this way: right now, there can be a backup at the toll booth. Well, there won't be now.
No.
So.
Because people just keep driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
And, you know, I think most of Pennsylvania drivers have Easy Pass. I'm not necessarily in favor of any of them since they've been used in everything, including divorce actions. So
they have.
Oh, yes. Yes, New Jersey, it was famous.
Oh, to prove where they were and everything?
Yes. Yes, New Jersey, it was famous. Absolutely. And so
I think they're using it in murder cases too.
Well, I'm sure. So, you know, you are being tracked that way. But, you know, let's face it, as far as your plates go, they can track you no matter what. It's just a little easier if you happen to have an Easy Pass. So,
well, now is Easy Pass national or just
every state has their own.
Oh, they each have their own.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So if you have Easy Pass in Pennsylvania, it won't get you California.
Well, no, if you're actually using Easy Pass itself, there is an association of states that have it. For instance, for Easy Pass, you can use it in Minnesota and in Illinois, but you can't use it in Iowa or Wisconsin or Michigan. You can use it in Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, all that. You like in the Northeast, you can use it in New York, not in Connecticut, not in Vermont, but you can use it in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maine. You can use it in North Carolina, not in South Carolina. You can use it in Florida. So that's, I think, the states that offer it at this point. And no, it's not further west. Georgia, I think, has agreed to use Easy Pass, but I don't think they use it yet.
Because wouldn't it be simpler if everybody just had one thing?
Make this national? I don't want to make anything. Yeah. I don't want to make anything national, but that's a whole other discussion. Now we're getting political.
Not make it like federal or anything.
Well, that's what you'd be doing. Well, firstly, you don't have Easy Pass.
No, make each state have the same Easy Pass.
Yeah,
but not make it.
Well, these are private companies. Number one, but number two, the Easy Pass network is only in the Northeast for the most part. It's not West.
Oh, okay.
You know, so there's other systems. So, and of course, Illinois uses, I think they use iPass, but it works with Easy Pass. I think that's seamless in Illinois. Anyway, I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again, and I'm going to run commercials, because see, Bob keeps on me. If I don't break in time, he just, yes, exactly. Very good. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Good. So
okay.
I'll go
thanks,
play
the music.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. And then we'll talk to James on the South Side and his 9,832 stories, and I hope you'll call too on WGN Radio.
Well, all right. Gotcha. Citizens of the universe, recording angels, we have returned to claim the pyramid. Partying on the mothership, I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D, light year grooving. Well, all right, you hear the noise, ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas.
Yeah.
put a glide in your stride and a dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boot, doing the bump. Hustle on over here. This far. Mothership connection. Home of the people.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that was a Johnny D's request. Mothership Connection, Star Child was the album. 1975, and the album was Mothership Connection, and the cut on it is Mothership Connection, in parentheses, Star Child. 1975, Casablanca, and yeah, glide in your stride. What happened to a glut in your strut? All right, so channeling a little Frankie Crocker there, I do believe. All right, so I meant to tell Leah something else, because I know her head will just spin around. Yeah, you will, Leah, so, you know, just hold on to something. You know, we talked about Easy Pass and all that. Well, California, which has Fast Track and a couple other systems, has value pricing. Now, the price you pay depends upon how is the traffic, how is the time of day. So, like, if you're I-15 and you're going, you know, from Escondido to San Diego, the trip might cost you 50 cents or up to $8. And that is the way it works. And so, it's fascinating that they do this. And if you don't know, it can be fairly smart, fairly surprising, I guess. But yeah, Escondido to San Diego, it's based on the current traffic conditions. Now, to some degree, it's distance travel too, but it's definitely fast track. And I think it's only 20 miles of this that they do it, and you have to have fast track to use it. And then there are a number of other interstates that have certain express lanes that are toll, and the rest of it isn't. But again, all on the dynamic pricing, like 110, the Harbor Freeway in Los Angeles. Well, from Adams Boulevard to Harbor Gateway Transit Center, it might cost you $15.40, or it could cost you 30 cents, depending. And again, part of it is how far did you drive on it, but part of it is what was the traffic congestion at the time, and that's a big factor on that. And you know, 680 does it. So yeah. In addition to tolling, they charge you based on how much traffic is there. All right, so I know that that Leah will just about lose it for that. But before we get to James, and we will, in fact, I'm going to save him for next hour so we can talk at length about his 9,832 stories. Graham is in Wheeling. All right, made it to West Virginia.
Wheeling, West Virginia. I'm still in Ohio.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to you for so many years talk about Skyline Chili. So
yes.
That's where I stopped for dinner tonight.
Did you have a three-way?
What's a three-way?
A three-way is the spaghetti, the cheese.
No, I didn't have the spaghetti because I'm diabetic.
I know. But I mean, when you're at Skyline Chili, you're blowing it anyway. All right, the chili and the cheese you had.
Yeah, I had the chili with the cheese. I had a Greek salad.
Okay.
And I asked for a small fries and said, well, we don't have a small fries. I said, okay. Well, then, how does this sound? How about you eat half of them, and I'll eat the other half and put cheese on top of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
well,
and it, now,
fries
my
are,
brother
fries
had
said, are new, by the way. Traditionally, Skyline Chili wouldn't have ever had something like fries.
Okay.
But yet, cheese conies are very big. You know, they're just wonderful.
Yes.
Just wonderful. So what did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it was very good. The chili is different than I'm used to, because I'm used to most of the time everybody makes chili that's a tomato base.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have beans either. No, you see, chili is a misnomer. It's not chili. It's a Greek concoction. And the Lambridis, Lambridis family started it, 100 years ago or so. And there were always three chains traditionally, Skyline, Empress, and Gold Star. And Empress is gone, but Gold Star and Skyline remain. And then, of course, there's individual locations as well. But, yeah, Chili, mm-hmm. Chili is a real misnomer. It isn't. Now, you can get a four-way or a five-way. You can have them, put on beans if you want it, but it's not normally a part of it.
Okay, well, that makes a certain amount of sense because that's why they had a Greek salad, and it was actually very good.
Yeah, because they're absolutely Greek.
Yes, and then they said they also, because the one of the owners retired down in Florida, they have a few locations in Florida.
I can tell you exactly where. Well, on the East Coast, too, there's one in Fort Lauderdale, for instance. No, I know where they are.
Yeah, you had said that.
Yeah, I've been to every one of them. But, every one of them is different. There used to be one underneath a restaurant. Actually, it was underneath an Arby's across the street from the 580 gift shop downtown. And the deal there was that was my favorite, but it's not there anymore. But I've been to almost all the locations, and they really do taste a little different.
Oh, okay. So they make it themselves, I guess, on premises.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm also used to it, chili being a lot thicker and cooked down more.
Mm-hmm.
And with it not having any beans, now that makes a certain amount of sense.
Right. Right,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Keep driving.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Darling, loneliness is something that no one likes to have. So I'm asking you to please be mine. Because you see, it's like this with me. I'm so alone. I've got nobody. My heart belongs. That's why I want to belong to you. Well, you're so sweet, I want you to be my sugar lump. When you look me in the eye, you make my heart jump. Living for myself all the time. Please, darling, won't you please be mine?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Turbans. And actually, Dennis had just emailed saying, I forgot my request. I want to hear the Turbans. Well, I was going to play some of the Turbans anyway because Al Banks would have turned 87 this week. And, of course, Al Banks, you heard him. He's the lead singer of the Turbans. Now, it's interesting because Carol keeps me straight on all this because I remember nothing. And she puts there with a note, Al did not sing lead on Golden Rings, which, it was at Worsham, which is a good thing to tell me because I think Golden Rings was my favorite by them. It was, but of course the big hit was When You Dance. And as I say, he would have been 87 this week. They're a Philadelphia group, and in fact, sadly, all these groups, of course, early to mid and then mid to latter 50s disbanded. But then the 70s came around and a lot of more were reforming because the oldies circuit had become so big. And that's what Al was going to do. And sadly, he dropped dead of a heart attack in July of 77. Yeah, so I think he was only 40 at the time. But yeah, that's Al Banks. You heard him. That's the Turbans. And that's for Dennis. All right. So it was on Herald, by the way, 1954, I think. 888-876-5593. We're talking to Graham, and Graham is in Wheeling. Wheeling is a suburb of Pittsburgh, as far as I'm concerned, and he has just scarfed down his first Skyline chili. You know, it's interesting you say you like it, because the first time I ate it, I really didn't like it, and, this is the 60s. And the second time, I could kind of take it or leave it, and the third time, well, I warmed to it. Well, after that, I was addicted, and, been eating it ever since.
Did you say something about it having brown sugar in it?
No, well, it's got cinnamon. It's got a number of things in it. But you don't know for sure because the Lambridis family won't tell you. And like I say, there's ingredient. But, you know, there's a lot of people who online will go ahead and, you know, say, oh, yeah, you can make it. And here's what's in it. But it's all guesses because they're not coughing it up for real. And Kroger now sells cans of it. You not only can buy the chili, but if you like spaghetti, I know it's not your thing because of the health things, but they make the chili and the spaghetti together in these cans. So all I have to do is get the the cheese, the thinly sliced cheddar. And yes, it's just truly wonderful. Now, here's the true secret, and John would probably tell you, so I might as well. It gets me really sick. I don't care.
Oh, no.
I love it. So, you know, and also John will know, and I'll, yeah, I'm going to have Skyline chili. I'll pay for it later. I don't care. But, yeah, absolutely don't. But, yeah, I got sweatshirts. I got T-shirts. I got plates. Yes, yeah, Skyline chili. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is the same way when it comes to certain things. She's got food allergies, and she'll end up eating stuff that she knows that the next day will kill her, and every once in a while she just has a compulsion.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
The ingredient, the quote-unquote secret ingredient that most of the chefs mention isn't brown sugar. It's, believe it or not, chocolate. But who knows? We know that it's got chili powder,
yeah,
and we know there's cumin and paprika and oregano and cayenne, but there's, mm-hmm, I know there's cinnamon, but then there's other stuff as well. And then some people say, oh yeah, it's chocolate. So they do all this copycat stuff, but since I can buy it in cans, what do I care?
Yeah, I know my friend's wife bought this book many years ago, and it all the secrets behind fast food.
Yes, 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 like the Kentucky Fried Chicken stuff and all that, yes.
Which the only the seven herbs and spices are just pepper and salt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the original Kentucky Fried Chicken I loved, and you know the first Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise anywhere in the world was in Salt Lake City.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it was, and so that
did he, is that where he came from?
No. He was in Eastern Kentucky.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he was in Richmond, Kentucky, and it was just Colonel Sanders. It was so good. It was nothing like it got to be later. And in fact, when Colonel Sanders sold it, I think he sold it to Frisch's. Of course, they were, but whoever he sold it to, someone in Louisville. They sued him. He later claimed that the mashed potato gravy, it all tasted like wallpaper paste, and so they sued him. But in the meantime, he opened up a restaurant in Frankfurt, in the capital, called Claudia Sanders, the Colonel's Lady. And he's probably still there, but it was great. But yeah, the original stuff way back when was just wonderful.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was truly great. And I don't know how they ruined it the way they did, but they did.
Yeah, well, they can always figure out a way to ruin it. What? Isn't it PepsiCo or something that owns it?
Well, like I say, I think that it went to Frisch's originally, but I'm not sure. He was in Corbin, Kentucky originally, but yeah, I remember when I lived in Louisville, he was still very much alive because he died like in 1980. He was 90. But, you know, I think that it was John Y. Brown, which that name, if you're from Kentucky, well, you know John Y. Brown. And in addition to being the 55th governor of the state of Kentucky, he was a venture capitalist. And he purchased Kentucky Fried Chicken originally in 1964. And then he sold it, gosh, in 71, maybe, about that. And so a lot of people have had it over they sold it for a lot of money. Well, of course, they bought it for a lot of money, too. But anyway, I don't remember who got it. I should look it up because I'm sure Kentucky Fried Chicken is proud to tell you their history. So I should probably look it up. But Corbin, Kentucky, but the first one in 1952 was in Salt Lake City.
Interesting. interesting. They didn't mention that. I watched the thing about Kentucky Fried Chicken on TV on, I think, Discovery Channel did a thing on all the different franchises.
Right.
And they didn't mention anything about that part.
Well, see, what the deal was at the time was he wasn't franchising. It's this guy who owned a restaurant in Salt Lake City agreed to try the chicken because he liked it. And he said, let me sell the product. And he wanted to advertise it. And so he put a thing in the it wasn't Kentucky Fried Chicken. That wasn't called that. It was this guy.
Okay.
It was this guy in Salt Lake. And in his window, he put up a big sign for the chicken. He was trying to promote it. And because it was from Kentucky, he said, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So that's how, because, you know, he wanted to find a way to differentiate his restaurant. And so he thought, well, I really like this chicken. And, you know, if we make it Kentucky Fried Chicken, it'll sound like it's got Southern hospitality and all that. And so he painted the name Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, on his window. And then, of course, after that, Sanders actually franchised it. And his original deal was you had to pay Sanders 4 cents per chicken.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the problems that hurt him was he was in North Corbin, and that was just great because you used to have to drive through it. Well, I-75 got completed, and you didn't have to drive through it. So he then went to Shelbyville and all that. And still at that point, you know, like 1959, 1960, they were not doing anything. But then when it took off, it really took off. And
yeah,
I think 62 was about the time that it started to explode. Finger licking good and all that. Probably still use it to this day. I don't know. But so, yeah, it was John Y. Brown. And that was and then they did it in Canada, too. They had a whole big deal there. I think he had lived in Toronto for a while or something. But anyway, it was interesting because he would visit the restaurants. And if he didn't like the food, you know, I mean, wallpaper paste, I can say on the radio, but some of the stuff, you know, that he punctuated with slop, I can't even tell you what. And so the other thing was, I think it was Hublin who bought it from John Y. Brown. But anyway, Sanders got mad, and so he sued them because he said they were misusing his image in promoting products he had not developed. And so then, Hublin sued Sanders, and that was the deal, for libel. And that was unsuccessful. And I just looked this up. It says, Sanders referred to their gravy as being sludge with a wallpaper taste. So, yep, that's about it. And so then they went and did the Claudia Sanders, the colonel's lady. And that was interesting because Hublin sued him for that. And they had some kind of a settlement, but it continues to operate. I think it's Claudia Sanders Dinner House now. And it allegedly, I don't know if it still does, but it did have the original recipe, good Corbin, Kentucky chicken. And so,
nice.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Hublin sold it as well. And, you know, John said he thought PepsiCo, and that might be true. I don't know who bought it after that. I just remember when John Y. Brown bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, because they eventually end up owning everything, all of the conglomerates.
Oh, sure.
You know, they just snap everything up and destroy it.
Yeah,
unfortunately, okay, Raleigh.
True. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me ride along.
Oh,
with
well,
you.
Thank you for taking me. I had a great trip. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, by tomorrow, I'll be back down by the beach.
Yes, you will.
My dog will be happy to see me.
Oh, I bet. Isn't that the truth? They're thrilled, yes. So that'll be a nice reunion. Okay, Hublin was sold to R.J. Reynolds, and R.J. Reynolds sold it to PepsiCo.
Okay, makes sense.
There you go. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all right, and we will pick it up there. We have James and the stories, and we'll go over some of those. And then we got Ruth, and we have plenty of room for you, don't you know it? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Some friends go bowling every Saturday night. Some sit around and watch the TV fight. But all I want to do is hold you tight, 'cause I
somebody finds all kind of things to do. He's always coming up with something new. But all I wanna do with you. Cause I ain't got a one track. Yes, I've got a one track. I've got a one track mind. Well, I can't keep my mind on nothing else but you. You know it's you, and only you. And if there's ever anything you want me to do, I say yeah, 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 yeah. A lot of people like to go on trips. Others stay at home and read the comic strips. But all I wanna do is kiss your lips. Cause I ain't got a one-track. Yes, I've got a one-track. I ain't got a one-track mind.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Indianapolis' own Bobby Lewis, most known for Tossing and Turning, but that's the one-track mind, also on Belltone, and I thought that was a terrific record, actually, and it was Robert and Stickney who wanted to hear that and happy to play it. It was a follow-up to Tossing and Turning in 1961 on Belltone, and he co-wrote that. Of course, Tossin' and Turning was interesting because that was written by Richie Adams of the Fireflies. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and James is on the south side. So, James, without further ado, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. I managed to not sprain anything.
Amazing. Well, good.
My doc still wanted to actually do an X-ray on me.
Well, that's probably not a bad thing.
If
nothing else, you'll have a baseline.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always, always.
I tried to like keep me not overwhelm me with two. There's a bunch of stories. I just put them for draft and basically say later. Send a couple of those at a time.
Yes, exactly. And so very, very interesting. We have of course a lot more recalls of just about everything in the world, but the thing that I found most interesting in all of your stories were the two stories that juxtaposed. McDonald's talking about how successful their $5 meal is, that they're going to extend it. Now, of course, some people are saying, well, why extend it for a month? Why not forever? But at the same time that McDonald's is making their major decision to increase the $5 meal throughout the month of August, the workers are blasting it as absolutely annoying. They can't wait for it to end. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, when I saw that, I said, hey, I gotta send this one. Send them both.
Apparently, it's a customer favorite. And one staff member publicly said, can't wait for the deal to be over. So glad these $5 meals are over tomorrow. It's getting annoying. Well, guess what? They're not over tomorrow. They are at least through August. And the worker apparently inputs the order into the point of sale system. And she clicks on the $5 McDouble meal. Then she has to hit the ranch condiment icon, followed by a small Fanta and all that. Because the meal can be several different things. And so I guess she has to tailor it in all conditions. Because for the $5, you can either get your McChicken, your McDouble, or your Chicken McNuggets. So you got to choose that first, and then a small fry and a soft drink. But 93% of the franchise love it. I'm sure the 99% of the workers hate it. But when I read about the staff members' gripes, which I don't doubt for a minute, by the way, I thought to myself, you know, some programmer could have made this a lot simpler.
Obviously, because this could have been a lot smoother. You just simply streamline it and say, okay, leave it under one thing. Just simply just let them click down and it'd be all right.
And it's interesting because one worker had said, I'm so ready to say we don't sell that anymore. And then another one said, it's already gone. Well, guess what? It'll be back. Because over 90%, 93% actually, of the McDonald's franchises voted to keep the sale going. Now, they say extended to August, but their competitors, like Burger King and Wendy's, have $5 deals all the time.
Yeah, Wendy's one is real famous, and yeah, they've had it for some years now.
Well, they have, but Burger King's got a good deal, too, as far as that $5. So, you know,
oh yeah,
McDonald's is going to have to decide that maybe you got to go a little longer than August, but if they do, give their employees a break and program this better than you are.
Yeah, because it seems like they just kind of like did this on the fly.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. It is time for the news. Stay right where you are. Let's find out what's really going on in the world, and then we'll get back to nonsense right here on WGN Radio. Oh, I'm live. And here I am just sitting here. All right. Well, I know I got a lot of requests to play, and one of them actually came from Linda in Richardson Park. WGN Radio. And yeah, Ronnie Jordan. Sounds like I'm channeling The Quiet Storm, Soft and Warm, which is still on the air at WHUR in D.C., of course, where it originally started. And then I think BLS in New York and BLS in San Francisco both have a version of that still. But it was real big around the soft jazz formats, which were there for a while. And Ronnie Jordan's first album, Antidote, sure was featured on those soft jazz stations. After Hours, which is the song that I believe that that Linda wanted. She said Happy Hour, but I couldn't find Happy Hour, but we found After Hours. And I got to number 51 on the R&B charts, and that's the only thing he charted with in America. And sadly, he didn't have a long career because he died. And sort of mysterious circumstances. It was the beginning of 2014, and his body was found at home after several days having been dead. He had just returned from an overseas tour in South Africa. So they did an autopsy, and the results were inconclusive. What they could say publicly was there was no foul play, there was no injury, there was no substance abuse, but beyond that, they don't know. And so, yeah, rest in peace, Ronnie Jordan. At least you gave us After Hours. All right, so now we're talking to James on the South Side about his 4,832 stories. So, yeah, I forget which one we were talking about, James.
Okay. Well, we hadn't really gotten that into one yet,
All right.
We were just starting, and then you had to go to break.
Well, there was, of course, McDonald's, which those two stories together were absolutely hilarious. I thought that then in the same day they'd come out about, here's management, best thing we ever did, and here's the employees, worst thing they ever did. You know, there's no consistency there. Now, one of the things that was disturbing is it continues. Now, the good news is, yes, there are some payouts, but it's really hard to properly compensate someone if they suddenly become the victim of identity theft. And it is so easy to happen. And unfortunately, in many instances, like many of these cell phone companies, they're not going to give you a contract if you don't give them your social security number. Now, I realize you can, you know, do the other deals where you buy it as you go or whatever. But for the most part, you're forced to give a ton of information in a ton of different settings. And meanwhile, there's usually not hell to pay when there's a massive data breach. But just reading where TracFone's going to pay $16 million. Of course, AT&T, yeah, that was just huge, that data breach. And I know that they're
yeah, and it looks like they got hit again.
Yeah.
That was because they were talking about some little thing that they've discovered, another little breach. And I'm like thinking, I come again.
Well, you know, it goes back to on the danger of being political, but it goes back to the fact that in America you do not own your identity. The provider does. So if you have a credit card, the credit card company can sell your data in terms of what you shopped for and all that stuff, you know. But in other countries like Germany, you own your identity, and it gives you more of a standing. Of course, the government doesn't want you to own your own identity, because why get a warrant when you can just go to a, you know, Choice Point or something? You know, just buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, the problem...
Now, the track... Yeah.
I was going to say the problem.
TracFone.
Okay. Go ahead. TracFone.
Okay. What comes to mind with that is because they also run something called SafeLink. Now that the feds are kind of like their program has ended because of the congressional backlog. The problem there is, okay, is that you have a lot of people who really are like small fish in the pond, but they're all getting kind of like stung by the same netting, pretty much.
Well, you see, what's interesting here is TracFone is now part of Verizon. And most of the MVNOs belong to a major carrier now, because the major carriers realized that consumers were getting wise. They weren't willing to pay for these ridiculous contracts to get a quote-unquote free phone, which costs you out the yin-yang for monthly payment. But the competitor, well, Carlos Slim in Mexico used to own TracFone, and the competitors were so numerous that, the first thing Verizon did was they set up their own, Visible is theirs in-house. But then they bought them, so they got TracFone, and they got Straight Talk, and they've got a number of others, Page Plus and on, that they own. So when you're seeing TracFone paying $16 million, no, that's Verizon. Period.
Yeah.
So, you know, Total is Verizon. Walmart Family Mobile is Verizon. So I think Carlos Slim sold this stuff in about 2021. And what is, of course, at issue here is whether or not the proper steps are taken to reasonably secure a customer's proprietary information. And, of course, what the government is saying is, no, it doesn't. And they probably don't. Again, it seems to me if you are expected to part with critical information, that you should be able to come after anybody who misuses it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but unfortunately, it seems like there's a lot of what we would call bad actors who are taking advantage of the situation.
Most of them. And, you know, the cellular companies are very often in the news, but I'll tell you, the worst offender is medical. The medical offenders are just unbelievable what is available through, if you want to be a nefarious hacker. Now, I will agree that at this point in time with robotics, it's almost impossible to keep after the people who are going to be bad actors in the game. But there's a difference between that and not doing your due diligence to try. And that's what we're seeing. And so you see, literally you see dozens of stories a week on this.
Yeah. It's sad, but I guess you could say it's a new reality.
Well, and a lot of times when you'll see a data breach, you'll say it'll be like Group 1001 is forced to pay $4.7 billion. And the first thing most people say is, well, who the hell is that? They don't even realize that, in fact, they may very well have their information involved with them. So sometimes, just like the recalls, the food recalls that we talk about, so many of those we think, I never heard of this. And then you find out that they're marketed in companies you absolutely have heard of. And my God, too many recalls this week. I'll tell you what, when you get into hot dogs, I mean, hot dogs are so bad for you anyway. Can you imagine how bad they have to be if someone's recalling them?
That was like I think it was Portillo's through some sort of health thing tried to make the Wiener Circle look foolish. I think this was about a month or so back, but they kind of ended up with a little egg on their place because the Wiener Circle uses Vienna.
Yeah,
which is kosher. So basically, and they also have what we call it one of those, vegetarian and beef like things of Frank's too. So it's like, they're like looking like. Well, we put our egg on our face. Yeah, yeah. We really put it on there.
Yeah, there's a frightening amount of this happening. So other than the data world and the food world, and of course people behaving badly. Now you have, was she 11 in Memphis who smothered an 8-year-old? And that's another case where our laws are behind the time. You know, if you have video of an 11 or 12-year-old willfully, brutally killing an 8-year-old, should that individually be tried as an adult? So again, those are, I guess, serious subjects. But it is shocking to which the degree to which kids, literally kids, are doing things that are heinous. And so, you know, I don't know what that means. We could probably go on and on, but you're always giving me a bunch of those stories.
There was one where a guy had asked, I guess, for a raise.
Oh, that was great. And he deleted like 21,000 hours of work.
Yeah, and his boss was left basically holding the bag.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and you really wonder about that of how could an employer allow an employee to be in that position?
Yeah, but apparently, he felt like he wasn't valued, so right. He said he did more than just a Johnny paycheck.
Take this job and shove it. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I was just reading about that, and I thought to myself, well, is there anything the employer could do? Could he go after the guy for theft, for instance? Because obviously the work had some value, and the employee didn't have a right to take it. And so that was the deal. And of course, the employee did copy the file for himself. And so I would assume that if there was anything that was going to be legally happen, he could give them their files back. But he asked for a raise, and because he was overworking, which a lot of people are, you know, that is unfortunately too common, overworking. And so here we have the boss saying no. And he was a videographer, so what he was taking down were mostly, you know, audio video files. And so he knew how poorly he was being paid. So, you know, the logic was pretty much, well, if they don't value my work, why should they have it?
Yeah. And so And unfortunately, that's a discussion that's for basically for more right. Nimble mind.
Well, truly, but the one thing that ties back to being fast and loose with data is that this was not a case where the guy got fired and he immediately did this. Oh, no, he was fired after he asked for the money, and so he struggled for months to get another job. And, you know, months, literally years later, he finds a way to get back. This is years. And so he's looking at a very old Google Drive account, and he sees that the company was still using a folder that he had created and owned. And, you know, years later, most were active files containing templates, adjustment layers, presets, even videos. And over 18 people in the company were actively using it. Well, and it was in a cloud service that, by the way, he was paying for monthly. This was his work. It wasn't on their servers. It was on his server. So this is
In a weird sort of way, they were still using him.
Well, they were stealing from him, right? But yeah. So that's the deal. So I would think that the reality is that nothing came of it. By the way, nobody sued anybody on this. But the reality is that that company wouldn't have much of a leg to stand on when they're using his files on his cloud drive account. So. I gotta go to Walter's perspective. God only knows what Walter's talking about, but we're about to find out. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
I want a request. Couple of requests, but that can be after.
Hang on. We'll do that right after Walter warbles or whatever it is that Walter does. So don't go away. And right now we'll find out because it is time. The time has come for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the Hollywood Flames, and Bobby Day, Mr. Rockin' Robin, wrote that. As you kind of tell that listening to it. He was in the group, too, originally. Robert Byrd was his real name, but several other people in Hollywood Flames as well. But in 1957, on the Ebb label, there's something that's probably not in your collection. They did Buzz, 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 and it was Robert and Stickney who wanted to hear that. So most happy to play it. Lee Roop, who was related to Art, obviously owned Ebb. All right, so let's get back to James here because he had a couple requests before the news happens again. So what do you want to hear?
Okay. For a couple of my requests are whatever would have been what Scotty would have wanted.
Okay.
Okay, you can pick from whatever because I liked a lot of Scotty's ones.
Well,
so I would be hard.
Yeah, I can do that because I still have his request list. So there was another one you said though.
Okay. Also, a couple of things. Last week you were talking about where sometimes the original song, and sometimes you find where there's another one by somebody else that's better than the original.
Yep.
Well, I thought about it. There was one that came to mind. Well, that's among.
Tell me quickly.
The
I'm
Wayward
going to
Wind.
News. The Wayward Wind, Gogie Grant.
Yeah, but there's also Patsy Cline
had
a version.
I will look for Patsy. Thanks.
That's it.
Okay, good. All right, and that's where we'll pick it up after the news here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Daryl Banks. Yeah, Walking Soap Opera was he. Actually, you know it as Open the Door to Your Heart, and it was a wonderful record, but it was actually legally titled, for copyright purposes, Baby Walk Right In, which I can see. Now, the real confusion comes, did Daryl Banks write it? Well, he claims he did, and that's what's on the label, but most likely Donnie Elbert wrote it. They both were growing up in Buffalo, originally from Mansfield, Ohio, and I always wondered about this because my friend Robert W. Morgan was born in Mansfield, Ohio on July 23rd, 1937, and Daryl Banks was born in Mansfield, Ohio on July 25th, 1937. So I found that interesting, but something tells me that due to the times that they were living in, their paths did not cross. Daryl would have been 80 this week, today, actually, because it is the 25th, as you know. Also, Roby Young was born on this date, too. If he were still alive, he would be, let me think about this, 82. Yeah. Well, rest in peace to both of them. But, yeah, Daryl was clearly the more colorful of the group. He, like I say, he was a walking soap opera. He had a girlfriend in Detroit. And from all accounts, they were, you know, had been thick as thieves, but she was kind of trying to break up with him. And so she was with another guy. The other guy happened to be a cop. And so the cop was walking her home to her door. She, the girlfriend, Marjorie, was actually working in a bar. But so here is the cop walking her home to her door. And here comes Daryl, and he grabs her, saying, "We need to talk." Yeah, boy. Well, the cop didn't think much of that and killed him. So that was the deal there. And I don't think there was anything ever filed on that, but he was declared absolutely dead. So that's the deal. Now, by the way, the cop wasn't the only one with a gun. Banks pulled a .22 from his own waist and pointed at the patrolman. Well, obviously at that point the guy is going to fire, which makes sense. Struck him in the neck, and that was it. Taken to New Grace Hospital, declared dead at 12:10 p.m. So, rest in peace, Daryl Banks, who would have been 87 today, instead died of 32. Yeah. And no word on whatever happened to Marjorie. So, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Karen is in Knoxville. What's up, Karen?
Oh, well, not a lot right this minute, but I've had a good bit happen this year. It really started late last year, November. Started with a mammogram.
Ooh.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, when you start the sentence that way, we know what's coming isn't good news or you wouldn't be mentioning it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not, but it, yeah. Okay. It started with that, and they called me and said, you need to come back in.
Yeah.
We need to do an ultrasound.
Yeah.
Okay, I did that. And I decided, well, okay, they called me again and said, we need, well, when I did the ultrasound, the radiologist, usually it's a nurse. I had a couple of scares with one of them, you know, a couple of years ago. And I went as far as the ultrasound, and that was it. You know, nothing was
right.
found.
Right, good.
Okay, when the radiologist comes in and said, I'd like to do a biopsy.
Mm.
Oh, well. Okay, then she said a nurse would be coming in to find out, and I decided then I wanted my daughter to bring me to that, if mm-hmm. I had to do that.
All right.
So she did. I called her and the nurse gave her a couple of dates and times. She couldn't do the first one. She was going to have a meeting, my daughter. And then the second one she could. So that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And that was done. And the next week. And then the nurse told me, she said, well, I'll call you at the latest tomorrow and tell you whether it is or is not cancer. And she called at 11:15 the next day, approximately, and said it is. And when you hear that on the phone, I mean, well, anyway, a lot happened pretty quick. They referred me to a surgeon, and he wanted to do what was called staging scans.
Right.
And I did that.
Right.
And then another appointment was done with the surgeon so he could tell us the results of it. It hinged on what results I get. If they
right.
found cancer elsewhere,
right.
you know, they might not do surgery, but it wasn't. And so we did, and I needed some time, frankly. I mean, he said, if you want to make an appointment today, you know, and I said, I'm just not ready to do that.
Right. Now, what, personally, at that point, I assume when they did the staging and all that, your lymph nodes were not involved, right?
Oh, one lymph node was involved okay. because when she did the biopsy, found that one lymph node was involved.
All right, so and you knew you were at that point. So what type of surgery did he recommend?
A mastectomy with the removal of the lymph node.
Well, did you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me tell you, that took me some time, and I said, my daughter said, well, I don't know why you won't just do this, you know.
Well,
I said, I need the time.
Right.
To grapple with this. And I didn't take that much time, only a couple of weeks, maybe. And so I called my daughter one day, and I said, okay, you know, call the, because I wanted her to be with me.
Right.
And she was. She told the doctor that, because when they did the surgery, they put a drain in because of removal of the lymph node. And they removed a whole sack of them.
Well,
but they...
Was anything found in the other lymph nodes?
No.
Yeah, see, I just... Yeah.
Just that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to do this.
I know.
But that's a choice you made, so we can't go back and change that.
No, I couldn't change it.
You had options, and they didn't tell you what they were.
They did not.
Yeah.
And that I...
You had options.
I sure did, but I couldn't pursue them. My daughter just told me... Okay, I'm working. I can't.
Oh, jeez.
Take you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. There's a certain hell for that.
Yeah.
A certain hell for that. Well, now, okay, so we can't go back and change it. So with that in mind, how are you now? Did you have any after effects because of the lymph node surgery?
The only thing is I have a little place under my arm, and...
But I mean, you don't have lymphedema.
I may have. I was referred to an oncologist, and I saw. I figured I'd see him every 3 months for who knows how long. But I made a couple, I had a couple of appointments and with him, and they checked, you know, blood work and found no cancer markers.
Well, that's all wonderful. So, we just want to make sure you don't wind up, like I say, with a complication like a lymphedema and all that. So just watch it.
I shall. Oh, believe me, I will. And I see my surgeon again. I had a follow-up appointment the end of January. My surgery was in January.
Okay.
And No, that was the only option I asked.
Oh, you had many options. But, you know, I mean, we can't go back and talk about that. We just want to move forward.
Oh, yeah, that's what I had to do.
Exactly.
And I got a prosthetic.
Okay.
I got a fitting for that. And
well, now, you're entitled to have the entire breast rebuilt. You're entitled to have that if you want.
I decided I didn't want reconstruction.
Okay. And that's, enough surgery. I understand.
Yeah, I decided that. Now, had it been 30 or 40 years
ago.
Well,
right, I understand that.
I may have decided something completely different.
All right, so now you've healed pretty well from the surgery, and you're not having after effects. As far as you know, you're not having after effects.
I can't say enough. I mean, he did a very good job the first time. Becky, you know, I was wrapped up in all kind of ace bandage, you know, after the surgery. But a couple of days, Becky and I removed that, and she said that looks very good. The surgery looks, he did a good job on it.
Well, good. So how are you feeling now?
I'm feeling okay.
Well, excellent. So this has ended well. Now you're done with all treatment and all that, right?
Well, the only thing I do, and the surgeon told me what the oncologist probably would prescribe, a hormone blocker for me. I take one pill every night.
Okay.
And that's about it. He didn't recommend any chemo or radiation. And I told him, the oncologist, I said, I don't want that unless I just have to.
No, that's excellent. They were pretty aggressive in the surgery, so they got everything all the way around. There was really no reason to put your body through more.
No, and if I didn't have to do that, I wasn't going to.
And you didn't. So now onward and upward, and you're feeling okay.
Onward and upward.
Yay.
This
ended well.
It has.
Good.
It has ended well, and I hope that is the end of it.
It probably will be.
And I think it will, you know. I had a request. I don't know the name of the group, but the song, I think it came out in the early 70s. It's called The Beginning of My End. It was a soul song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to see if it's on this computer, because it may be.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad thing, but it was pretty good. It was.
Yeah, here we go. All right, so it's 1968, actually. And,
68. Yeah, I figured it was late 60s, early 70s.
Well, no, this is the Unifix, sure. Sure, I'll play that for you. You betcha.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I did call once during Monday Night Trivia and won something.
You'll get it eventually. You will. You'll get it eventually, and you'll live to see it. I can tell already.
All right.
Good deal. And the Unifix will come up next.
I even took a trip.
Yeah.
I even took a trip.
Where'd you go?
Earlier this month.
Where'd you go?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, all right. Yeah, good old Duval County. Know it well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I lived right on the St. John's River.
Oh, wow. The hotel was on the or near the St. John's River.
Yeah, I did mornings at Y103.
It's now Easy 102.9.
I'm not surprised.
They've got the call letters WEZI, and that used to be in Memphis.
Right, absolutely.
Did you Did you ever work in Memphis?
You know, I never did. I was supposed to, and I commuted from Nashville. I did not want to live in Shelby County, so I commuted from Nashville.
Oh, no.
But, you know, back then, Memphis was the big city and Nashville was the small town. Now, of course, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When my family and I lived there, it was a small city, smaller city.
All right. Well, your Unifix are coming up next, and don't be a stranger. Call me again soon.
I shall. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it. All right. Karen sounds like she's doing fine, and that's great news. We'll play the Unifix next on WGN Radio.
Cadillac, a crowd of people gathered round, all dressed in black. And as they removed her body from the car, such pain I never knew did fill my heart. I lost the only one I've ever loved. The Lord has returned the up above. Same again, it's the beginning of my end. It happened on a Saturday night. My love and I had just had a silly fight. She got into her car and angrily drove away. Neither of us knew then that she'd never see another day. What have I done wrong to deserve this misery? All my life and all of my world has come falling down on me. I was at home
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there they are, the Unifix. And if you're saying, what is a Unifix? Well, they have been the Unique Five. Yeah, don't ask. Donny Hathaway produced their early stuff, and that was a follow-up to their big hit, Court of Love. But 1968 was a good year for a bunch of Howard University students who sadly had a very short-lived career for a lot of reasons. We'll find out what's going on in the news and be back to you right here on WGN Radio.
Where I go,
there's a pretty girl there.
I see a pretty girl.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Everywhere I go,
there's a pretty girl there.
I see a pretty girl.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
If I make it to the beach,
there's a pretty girl there.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
You know they knock me off my feet.
Pretty girl,
a dim pretty girl's there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Pretty girl,
pretty girl,
pretty girl,
pretty girl,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
If I make it to the park,
there's a pretty girl there.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
A hot iron in the dark.
Pretty girl.
And there's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Pretty girl,
pretty girl.
Pretty girl,
pretty girl,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
If I make it to the show,
there's a pretty girl there.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Even out at the rodeo,
pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
They came on horses.
Boogity, 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 boogity,
boogity, boogity, boogity. Pretty girl,
pretty girl,
pretty girl,
pretty girl,
everywhere.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Eugene Church. Yeah, it was Robert and Stickney who wanted that. And Eugene Church was originally from St. Louis, moved to L.A. as a kid, and hung around with Jesse Belvin. In fact, they were the Clicks together. And then later, of course, he wrote Pretty Girls Everywhere, and it was on Leon Renee's Class Records. And it was just lovely all the way around. Truly lovely. So we have Linda in Richland Park. Welcome back to WGN.
Oh, hello, Riley, and thank you for having me.
Always.
I just want to thank you for playing my three requests. I didn't think you was going to play that last one because it was a jazz tune.
No, it's nice. And, it's very nice.
Yeah, but I was surprised to know that the guy was dead. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2014, I think. Yeah.
Oh, man. A beautiful tune. He made some beautiful songs, you know.
Absolutely.
I said one thing about you. You do hold to your word. When you say you're going to do something, you do it.
Yep, you betcha. And you make it easy because they're decent songs. You know, when people request some of this wimpy white stuff, I say, there's just no way. But these I'm happy to play.
Now, come on. Don't say wimpy. Where is some wimpy white songs?
Well,
All
those formulaic
wimpy songs of every race.
Well, that's true. But in the latter '60s, all those kind of bubblegum records that, you know, they do studio groups, and mm-hmm. they were just one was as bad as the next one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I thought about it. I said, well, I was thinking of some other songs I wanted you to play, but when I heard about that poor lady that had that breast cancer, oh my God, that scared me. Yeah. Oh, it scared me because I got to go next week and have an ultrasound and the breast test. I said, oh, my God, I hope I come out fine.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be nothing.
Seems like she had a difficult time. But I don't want to take up all your time, but I enjoy your music. And I heard of three songs not long ago. Tobacco Road by Lou Rawls.
Okay.
And I wanted to hear that in one of my old favorites, Up on the Roof by the Drifters.
Okay.
And the other one is the song, I don't know what the name of it, I can't remember, but it's by this lady, her name is Chantel.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're familiar with Chantel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now you don't know what song?
No, it was something about Do You Still Love Me or something in reference to that. I can't remember it. So I shouldn't request it if I don't know the name of it.
Well, I'll try and find it. I'll try and find it.
Well,
that'll be my challenge.
All right. Well, thank you. And I enjoy your program. A lot of times I be listening. I just don't call in. I like to listen and I like to hear from other people. So,
well, it's always good to hear from you. Now, call me after the ultrasound. I want to know how it goes.
Will do. All right.
Good
luck. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, all right. So, several candidates for that. And so we'll check it out. All right, 888-876-5593 and B8888-Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, first of all, I was thinking, because it sounds like she's talking about Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, and that's the Shirelles.
Yes, it is the Shirelles.
The Chantels and the Shirelles.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I know Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, because she said something about Will You Still Love Me, and so, of course, the first thing I thought of was Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow.
That works.
And it's easy to get, you know, Shirelles and Chantels.
Well, there was a singer, Chantel Mazzone, who did something called Do You Still Love Me?
Oh, okay. I was probably wrong then. I don't know, because I hadn't heard of that song.
But I don't know. That was the first person I thought of, but I thought, you know, I don't know. So, the Shirelles are always good. You know, I'll take any excuse I can get. Chantel Mazzone, that's who I think that she's referring to. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm not sure if I know who that is, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of thought, well, maybe it's the Shirelles, because when she said, Will You Still Love Me, I thought, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Anyway, that aside, where do you get the canned Skyline chili? I've looked on Amazon, and I haven't found it.
Well, in the Kroger stores. And you can probably get it at Kroger.com.
We don't have a Kroger,
yeah, but you, well, actually, you probably do. But because, well, no, I guess you will soon. That's for sure. The way it's going, but I think you do. You know, it's not. It's not like HEB. That's just HEB. You know, obviously. But
yeah.
But I'm trying to think because there's somebody I was thinking that you did have, and maybe I'm wrong. But it, certainly, you have one that is now Safeway Albertsons. Okay,
but the only thing, let's see, we got, of course, HEB and Randall's.
Right. Well, Randall's, I think, is Randall's is owned by Albertson Safeway.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that
because
is.
Because I know that when I used to go to Randall's, and I used to go to Safeway in California, and I used to go to Randall's, and they would have some of the same stuff that the Safeway in California had. So, you know, some of the their special, you know, deli stuff and things
right.
like that.
Well, I'm looking for Skyline Chili here at Kroger.com, seeing what I can get, because they come in cans. And, you know, I don't know how long the cans last, because I still have some from 2016, and John is saying, don't eat them! And so I haven't...
Oh, my God!
But I said, well, 2016, you know, it's around this this decade. But here you can get... here's Skyline Chili here, a case of 24, but you can get them. They have them, by the way, frozen too, but that doesn't do you any good because you can't get there.
Yeah.
So, and they have them in the 10-ounce and the 15-ounce, but I like them with a spaghetti, and I'm not...
I would like that, yeah.
Yes.
I long before I ever heard of Skyline Chili, one time I had made... chili spaghetti because it just worked out that well I had a can of chili and I had some spaghetti
right,
and
right.
I didn't have anything else to fix
right exactly
well the chili might be good with a spaghetti who knows
yeah well I'm very disgruntled here as I'm looking here I see absolutely see the cans of chili but I'm not seeing oh they're out of chili and spaghetti oh dear
oh rat
yeah oh dear let's see well how about maybe I can try it in the larger size or I'll take it in any size I can get yeah oh this is not good news so let's see yeah they're out of it but now this bothers me it's sold and shipped by Universo Brands I don't know who Universo Brands is. Oh, John says try Walmart.com. All right, I'll do that because I get a lot of stuff there.
I get stuff there all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I've never met a website I won't shop at. But anyway, let's see. yeah, and let's see.
Yeah, same here if it's accessible. Some of
okay.
them are.
They got a 3-pack, but that's not. Oh, John is right. And it's a 15-ouncer, too. They got a 3-pack, 15 ounces. With a spaghetti, it's $17.82, and it arrives on July 27th. Well. All right.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since I've never tried it, I didn't want to buy like a whole.
No. Exactly. You don't need to do that. You don't want to buy 20 cans or anything. But yeah, you can.
And then what do I need to get with it? Because
okay.
I want to have the.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right. It's cheddar cheese, and it has to be really thin cheese, and you just put huge amounts of it on it. In fact, it's sort of like, do you like a little chili with your cheese? You know, a lot of it.
Yeah, that's me. I love cheese. Anything yeah. with cheese.
Yeah. So it's fine cheese, and I don't know what that's called. I guess it's shredded, fine shredded cheese, but it's got to be thin. You know, fine. And
okay.
Yeah, I gotta have a lot of
cheddar cheese.
Yeah,
like dark.
No, just the mild stuff.
Mild cheddar.
Yeah, just the mild cheddar. And they also have cheese conies. But in any event, yeah, I get a lot of that. Get oyster crackers. You have to have oyster crackers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's mandatory. Absolutely. So
One time, a long time ago, I heard you talking about a restaurant, Culver's.
I like Culver's. Now, John doesn't. You know, this, and what I like about Culver's, I like their fish sandwich. And they're a Wisconsin company. And they have a wonderful, wonderful fish sandwich. But John just passes by it. And so, but yeah, Culver's. Are there any Culver's in Texas?
There's one. The reason I asked was because I found it on Uber Eats.
Okay. Yeah, Georgetown. They got them in Georgetown. So, That's the deal. Find my nearest Culver's. Yeah, right. No, I don't want to enter for 40 years at Delicious. I just want to find the location. So what? Like 78735 or something? I'll do that one. That's Austin. It doesn't matter. All right. Oh, I got three choices here. Austin at, let's see, at William Cannon at Breaker Lane. You know where that is. And at yeah, that's the closest one to you, probably. And at Palm Valley in Round Rock. Well, you don't want to go to Round Rock. But,
yeah, no.
But 2240 West Breaker Lane. Why didn't they have these when I was there? Oh. I'm jealous. Oh. This isn't right.
But I was looking, you know, because I order a lot of stuff from Uber Eats.
All right.
And so I was looking, and I thought, oh, Raleigh's mentioned that
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I was looking at what
they've got something called cheese curds. What are those?
I don't want to know. I don't know.
I don't think it was.
No,
I
don't
want
to. No, it doesn't sound like I'll eat it. No, I just get the fish sandwich. I don't like tartar sauce, so I don't let them put that on there. It comes with lettuce and cheese, and I have them add a tomato.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I just love them.
I like a good fish sandwich.
Yeah, Well, you'll have to tell me. You might agree with John and say, what, are you crazy? Or you might agree with me and you'll really like it.
I will let you know.
All right.
One request.
Yes.
One simple. Scotty used to request a song. I think it's called Cha Cha Boom.
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely.
I love that song. Yeah. I've never heard it before Scotty requested it.
Yeah, the Dandeliers, of course. All right. I'll play it for you next.
All right.
Okay,
thanks a lot, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. All right, and we'll pick it up there. We'll get to Eduardo. We'll get to Cindy. Hopefully, Ruth is still awake, and maybe you too on WGN Radio.
Lord, 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 it's on a man all the time. That cha-cha-boom, come cha-cha-boom. On the toe. Oh, well, my baby's always saying that cha-cha-boom. But Lord, I can't stand it, don't I lay her sore. But count funny, no, I can't take it no more. Gonna get in my hat, Lord, and hit the door.
Cha-cha-boom.
I had a talk with my baby, Lord, I tried to find out just what the chopping saw was all about. My baby wouldn't tell me, but then she said, you know, it always reminds me of a busted head.
Cha-cha-boom, wow.
When we go out walking at a two-function, just about the time that I'm feeling good, she meets a friend, she calls her Bessie Mae. They get together, you will hear them say,
cha-cha-boom, cha-cha-boom, cha-cha-boom.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there they are, the Dandeliers, 1955, Cha-Cha-Boom, and Dallas Taylor wrote it, and of course sang lead, and 55, I think that was on the States label, yeah, and you know, I always like the old label type radio t-shirts and stuff like that, whether it's call letters or whether it's record labels. Well, there's a number of companies that put out now record label stuff, but it's all the familiar stuff. So there's one that said they had everything, you know, and they did have Minute, for instance, which was nice. So I said, I want States. Oh, I might as well have been speaking Swahili. But John always offers, he says, well, you got the record, I'll just do the logo on a shirt for you. And I think I'm going to let him do that because States had a lovely label. All right, and a fine song, too. And, of course, the Dandeliers were just wonderful. All right, so waning moments. I should not take up your time. I should hear whatever you have to say. So we have Eduardo in Tampa. What's up, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh, I'll make it brief here because we're coming to the end here.
Yeah.
So, San Pablo here, this hot air balloon grabbed a motorcycle and threw it into the power lines, and 400,000 people
are without power.
Lost
yeah,
power.
Without power, yes.
Yeah.
Florida flicker and flash strikes again.
Oh, my God. I never seen such a weird story in my life.
Well, it is rather out there. That's and I love the comment, could have possibly been prevented, I guess. So yeah,
you gotta watch out because over there they don't mess around. I guess there's a fine and even jail time for you know,
well, yeah,
these balloons out there on purpose?
There's a lot of them, and sadly, you know, a lot of people have been injured with hot air balloons and power lines. They do not mix.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kind of like the North Koreans putting those dirty trash in the balloons and sending them to the south.
Oh, yeah.
That was just as funny as that one, yeah.
Right. All right. Good stuff.
All right, Riley.
So did you see the film?
Have a good weekend, yeah.
Did you see the film yet? Your indoctrination film?
No, that's going to be done Friday.
Okay, that's
tomorrow. They're going to show me around on Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah, that's tomorrow, and they're going to show me around Tuesday.
Okay, and you can tell them, yeah, you're going to show me about George Jenkins, aren't you? You'll be ahead of the class. All right,
thanks. I'll tell you how that went next week.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Look forward to it. Okay, so 888-876-5593. I mentioned I went to school in Florida. It's a long story how the hell that happened. But they made you do certain things back then, you know, and one of them you had to memorize all 67 counties. But the other thing was, yeah, we learned the history of Publix. I know. I can't imagine what the context of that was either, but it was grade school. All right, we have Ruth and Gurney, and we have 2 minutes. So they're yours, Ruth. Except Ruth went away. All right, well, then she'll call next week, and we'll get to her earlier, I promise. But we have two things here, two things in 2 minutes. Well, actually, Cindy in Chicago, are you with us?
Yes. I'm thinking of getting some sage and olive oil.
All right.
I guess now what happened was something leaked again from somewhere up from my condo to my neighbor's condo below. It's like leaking into her bed. It's water.
All right.
And we shut off the Mike checked.
Okay, I'm gonna run out of time. You're gonna have to give me the cliff notes on this. Now, are you getting sage so you smudge the place? Is that what you want to do? Energetically clear it?
No, to get the demon.
Yeah, that's
out
what it is. It's energetic clearing. Well, call me next week and we'll talk about sage smudging. All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate it. All right, so that's the deal there. Now, and we're going to get to Tubby, but Tubby wasn't there. But Sherry in Naperville says she closes the show this week. All right, Sherry, it's yours.
Hi, Riley. I just wanted to say I think her name might have been Karen, but the woman who went through the mastectomy.
Yes,
and
it was
thing.
Karen in Knoxville.
Okay. I just want to tell her because of I was 17 and my grandmother was having problems and she had exploratory surgery at Good Sam. And she called me versus her two daughters. I was a granddaughter. I was very close. But follow your gut.
Always.
Follow your gut and the Holy Spirit, because they're giving you clues 6 weeks till Sunday. And she died from exploratory surgery because they pierced something. And then I had to watch my handicapped sister while mom, my dad, and my aunt were at the hospital. And she was asking for me, but I couldn't go because I had to watch my sister. And I felt so guilty. And what they told me was, well, she doesn't look like grandma anymore. She's all different colors and she's bloated. So I wanted to remember her as I loved her.
Yes.
And that is the biggest regret of my life.
Oh, don't feel that way. She is watching over you.
Oh, that is the biggest regret of my life. If she was asking for me.
I promise.
I mean, she grew up in the Depression and she taught me.
You've ended the show, but I promise you this. I promise you that she is watching over you and you will reunite with her. So do not.
She was in college. I knew that for sure. I mean, we had a connection.
So there you go. Always keep that in the forefront. You will be together again. Trust me.
But
All right. Talk to you next week.
I felt so worthless.
Literally, I'm out of time. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
and that's it. Thanks to Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls and you for calling. And I hate when I have to cut somebody off, especially at a moment like that. So I'm so sorry, Sherry. But that is it. That's a wrap. Talk to you live Monday. Replay tomorrow night for Monday Night Trivia. And I'm Raleigh James. It is WGN Radio.